regular latest edition of the Polish Guy podcast.
It's the Polish Guy.
We have a mono American of the week.
Holy crap, that defense is good.
Let's get on the lighter side of things.
Holy crap, that defense is good. They are who we thought they were.
They'll find a way to win a couple of games that maybe they should.
Oh, thanks,
sports. Polish Guy podcast.
Welcome everybody, the Polish Guy is back here, and well, it's a special time of year for me, probably not so special for a lot of other people, but baseball is here, and this is my annual baseball preview. If you're unfamiliar with this, there's two separate podcasts here. I will do the NL first, and then the AL, and at the end of that one will be all the predictions for the postseason, as well as major award winners, and so forth. There will be two Model Americans of the Week, one at the end of this one, one at the end of that one. Perhaps you've already figured out who the last one is going to be, because it's painfully obvious. The first one, not a lot of pub on this one, but I found it very interesting. Now, I go division by division with no rhyme or reason. I just describe the team, what's going on with them, things I might expect, and then I give you a prediction of where they will finish, which I save for the end of the division, and give you a fantasy sleeper. I understand that a lot of fantasy drafts are over with now, but it's never too late to look for a guy or probably trade for a guy who seems to be undervalued, if you do want to take my opinion on it and stick it in your pocket or whatever else. So, without further ado, we will just start right in the National League Central with your World Series, defending World Series champion, St. Louis Cardinals. Now, of course, like everyone else, everyone knows that they lost Albert Pujols. Did David Freese really break out in the World Series? History tells us that David Freese probably will not have the breakout year that a lot of people expect him to be, but he will be what he was last year, which was a solid third baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. They added Carlos Beltran to their lineup. They kept Raphael Furcal. Of course, Holliday and Berkman are in there. Jonathan Jay might be the right fielder. Wainwright, of course, returns. The big question mark now is when will Chris Carpenter pitch? Now, I think that Chris Carpenter, after a very heavy workload last year, there's no way that he can sustain the workload this year as well. So I expected a little bit of regression from him this year, despite how awesome he was in the postseason. Chris Carpenter, though, he will pitch. I still think 25 starts might just be good enough to win this division. The reason is not necessarily the Cards are that much better, although I do think Carlos Beltran is going to have a bigger year than most people think. The Cardinals, there has been a shining light upon this franchise in the last dozen years or so. Although they don't win the series all the time, they get there enough, and they win the series and do well when you don't think they should, like the 83-79 team last year. This team was 10 games out in the beginning of August, and then all of a sudden, things like Ryan Franklin is not the closer anymore, and the bullpen is not struggling anymore, and then all of a sudden, bam, they get hot, they have some crazy things happen, they beat a team that was down to its last strike more than once in a World Series, never happened before, and then they lose their greatest player of this half century. All due respect to Stan Musial in the first half of the century, of course. all due respect to Bob Gibson and all these other guys, the second half of the, you know, last century, Pujols was the man. But how do you get help when you lose what is the best player in baseball right now? 3 years? I wouldn't have paid that contract. I would not have paid a ten-year contract out of Pujols. I can't really blame the Cardinals for not going that distance. And good for Albert Pujols. He found someone that did. Artie Moreno and the Angels were able to make the big splash they wanted. We'll get to them. But it really helps when every other team in your division is either the same, only slightly better, or, as for four of the teams, worse. Now you've got a bullpen of Salas, Jason Mott, Sanchez, and the fifth starter might be Lance Lynn, assuming Carpenter isn't coming back in the foreseeable future, but I still think you'll get 25 starts out of them. This is still a very good team. Fantasy sleeper, I really think it's Carlos Beltran. I think Beltran is this year's Berkman, and he will... Berkman himself, I don't think he's going to repeat the 25 homer, 90 RBI season, maybe 15 to 20 homers, 75 to 80 RBI, but I think Beltran will be a little bit better than he was last year, and I think he'll get back in the 25. Playing in St. Louis will help his power numbers. Pittsburgh Pirates, when will it be? Well, it's not going to be this year. The Pirates, their pitching prospects are still prospects, and if you're like me, I believe it when I see it when it comes from pitching prospects. That's I've pretty much become one of these stats nerds, I guess, and I believe that there's no such thing in a pitching prospect unless he's throwing in the major leagues, which, you know, things like Jameson Taillon and Gerrit Cole, it's going to be a couple of years because the pitching is just not quite there. The lineup, I like their lineup. I like Tabata. I like McCutchen, which was a nice sign. I don't like Neil Walker, even though I don't like him as a four-hitter. I like him more as a two or a three. Gerrit Jones, I'd like to see a bounce back here from him. The big question mark, of course, is Pedro Alvarez and how he is going to do. Of course, Presley was nice last year in his short time, but you're going to have to think that someone like him is going to regress to the mean with a high BABIP like that. And if you don't know what BABIP is, that's batting average with balls in play. League average is around 290. Some of these guys that we're going to talk about are in the 350 range, so you expect things to get worse for them. And, of course, the pitching for the Pittsburgh Pirates, well, it's not good. It's possible that Eric Bedard is the number one starter for the Pirates. Of course, you have Carstens, Correa, James McDonald, and Charlie Morton there. And, look, they're not terrible as they were, but they're not good either, and they're certainly not a team that's going to contend. And unfortunately for you Pirate fans, I am not seeing this as a season where they break the 500 record streak. Of course, Charlie Morton, we don't know when he's going to be back. Hip surgery. We don't know when A.J. Burnett's coming back with his broken face. But they'll get something out of Burnett. I still think they can get about 11 wins and a 4 ERA out of Burnett, and that's all they should expect. Of course, Eric Bedard, he's going to get hurt sometime because he's Eric Bedard. Look, just keep waiting, Pirates fans. It is going to get better as long as some of those prospects actually do turn into real players. Pitching guys, even if they can get one out of Taillon and Cole, that is going to be a huge boost to this team. So keep holding out hope. It is getting better. You have a hell of a ballpark, and just enjoy some Iron City and some Permonte Brothers and just have a good time at a fantastic ballpark with a great view. I've been there. Really an underappreciated gem in the major leagues is the new Pirates ballpark. Got to love the Roberto Clemente Bridge and everything about it. And then go over, you know, bless the money, the Rivers Casino as well. But don't start betting on the Pirates yet, if you're going to go to the casino. Houston Astros. Well, we can get predictions out of the way with Houston. Oh, forgot. Fantasy sleeper for the Pirates. If you see Neil Walker falling, grab him. Especially this year in fantasy at second base. Houston Astros. Doesn't get much funnier than this. First, they're being forced to move into the American League, which normally would be a concern for a team because National League teams have a problem with the designated hitter spot in interleague play, which is one of the reasons they do so terribly in interleague play. One of the reasons I don't like interleague play, but wait, that's a July podcast. We're not going to do that today. But for the poor Houston Astros, see, it normally would be a problem to try to get a designated hitter. The only problem is they don't have enough regular hitters, so no one's going to know the difference. So next year, when they still stink, just, you know, whatever. There is lots of building that is needed. They had four number one draft picks from 2005 to 2009 that have not made the majors. Of course, they need a lot of help with the team organizational-wise. They had to demand payments from the league to accept the move into the AL West because of travel expenses that are going to occur next year. Just an awful thing. And I think the Astros are... were a fun team when I was a kid growing up, and it's a shame to see where they're at. Little trivia question you can ask your friends. Which one of these players are in fact not a Houston Astro? Bud Norris, J.D. Martinez, Jose Altuve, Colt Johnson, or J.D. Shuck? If you can answer that, then I wish you were sitting here next to me at the podcast, because you are a smart man. And, you know, probably smarter than me. But, honestly, I did know the answer to this question, and if you do too, well, you've spent too much time on baseball, and we probably should talk, because you might be one of the other remaining fans on the planet of this sport. But I'm going to give away one of these answers here, because my fantasy sleeper out of the Astros, I mean, really, where do you go with this? I really do think it's Bud Norris. If you look at his K stats and all that, you don't know when wins are going to come, of course. You're going to need pitchers from high-win teams, and even that, you never know. But Bud Norris is going to get you 9 or 10 strikeouts for 9 innings. He's going to have, his whip has decreased every year in the last three from 1.51 all the way down to 1.32 last year. And this is his age 27 year, so this is about as good as you're going to get with Bud Norris. So figure out from those other four names. Again, the trivia question is, which one of these players is not a Houston Astro? Bud Norris, J.D. Martinez, Jose Altuve, Colt Johnson, or J.D. Shuck? Milwaukee Brewers. Now, they have had somewhat of an offseason themselves. Well, they apparently have a PED user, an insane person, and then lost their really good fat guy. Well, we're not sure. We thought they were going to lose Braun for 50 games. Now, I guess not. And thankfully, that thing has gone away. I still think Ryan Braun, if he was smart, he should come out every single time that he has a drug test for the rest of his career and paste those negative results on Twitter every single time. That is the only way you're going to gain anything back before the end of your career, because the people that decide these things, they don't think about it. They don't think about it past the fact that if you have PEDs, you're not going to make it. The pitching for the Brewers is always going to be the most interesting thing. Of course, last year they added They added Sean Markham, and now this year they're hoping that Markham is as good as he was last year for, you know, the first 5.5 months of the year until they got to the playoffs, and he was terrible. They're hoping to squeak out one more year from Randy Wolf, and of course, it starts all, the whole thing starts with Gallardo and Greinke, and always the question from Greinke is going to be his health. Back into the rotation, you got Narvison back. He's an average pitcher at best. The big thing there, of course, is Aramis Ramirez going to be able to replace the stats that Prince Fielder gave? I'm going to have to go no with that one. I believe Aramis Ramirez, I think the Cubs were picking the right time to let him go. Despite a little bit of resurgence in the second half of the season when it didn't mean anything for the Cubs, Aramis Ramirez was not... did not look like a great player last year, and he looked like he was on the verge of getting old. I think this is the year where it starts. Now, instead of Prince Fielder first base, you're going to see a lot of Matt Gamble. He's a guy that basically been blocked. First they were talking about him alongside Matt Laporta to be adding to the power of this team with Braun and Fielder. Then Laporta was traded in the brilliant Sabathia deal. Then, of course, now we'll see how Matt Gamble does. And he's actually my fantasy sleeper. Just take a look and see how he starts off. And he is 27 years old. He's right at that spot. Again, I'm not a 100% proponent of the age 27 rule. I think that some guys... can have their best year around 25, 26, but it's still a decent bet. If you want someone in the sleeper off of the Brewers, don't go Aramis Ramirez thinking you're smart. Get Matt Gamble instead. And in amazing Brewer news, they signed Jonathan Lucroy, their pretty good defensive catcher, to a new 5-year deal this week. And, of course, the Brewers are going to be a team that you're going to want to catch a little bit simply to see John Axford's mustache, which is a sight to behold. Next, we got the Chicago Cubs. And this is going to be another one of those fans. It's a holding pattern right now. It's not going to get much better. It's also not going to get that much worse. But Theo Epstein has... brought on to himself a pretty big reclamation project. You can't even judge this. Consider Theo Epstein like a football number one draft pick. You can't really think anything about it for 2 to 3 years. You got the Seriano Albatross contract, which has a couple of years remaining. And he's gone from a 40-40 guy into the modern-day Pete Incaviglia. And if you don't know who that is, look him up. Rob Deer, maybe? You know, if you want to stick with affiliations from teams in this division that might have... whatever. The Seriano Albatross, everything else, there's not much to this lineup. Soto, Ian Stewart, David DeJesus, it's just Brian LeHair. Actually, I don't even have an update on him. I actually like this guy. Of course, he's a little inflated. He had 38 homers in the Pacific Coast League. He had 288 and 59 at-bats last year. He's one of those another older career minor leaguer guys getting a shot. He could be your fantasy sleeper, but really he's just a guy to kind of watch. Another fantasy sleeper, a guy I think will get his Ks per inning, is another Bud Norris type as far as the stats will go. Jeff Samardzija, former Notre Dame wide receiver, might not be a bad pick late. Next, you got the Cincinnati Reds. Well, the Joey Votto debate. Well, I don't think people are already putting pressure, like people put pressure on the Brewers to trade Prince Fielder when everyone knew that the value wasn't going to be there at the time of the trade. So I don't think this is... For the Reds, they've basically got a situation here where you've got four teams on the downhill. And you've got the Cards, who are very likely not to be as good as they were before. And the Reds have a shot here. I do not think trading your best player, when you might have a shot at winning your division or making the playoffs, in the new format, trading your best player is not going to be the best idea for it. We've still got 2 years and $17 million to pay Joey Votto. We'll debate this next year. You don't have to do it now. Debate it next year. Figure it out. They could use another bat. They could make a move for a pitcher. You know, there's not... They don't have much in the system left to trade after the Matt Latos trade. So, at this point, it's better for the Reds, in my opinion, to be a team that goes all in. Not one that just sort of gets pennies on the dollar for their best player, Joey Votto. Maybe the best player in the National League. Definitely an MVP candidate. It's just, I don't believe that we should even be having this discussion. Of course, the Manson move looked pretty good. Now Ryan Manson is gone for the year, so it's going to be interesting who eventually becomes the closer. Whether someone like Sean Marshall is tried, whether Aroldis Chapman doesn't make it in the rotation and he gets in there, which I think Chapman is a closer as long as he can... If he can show this type of control that he's had so far in the preseason, then I think Chapman is that typical power guy, closer guy that would be a no-brainer. So we'll see what eventually is done there. The question for the Reds is, unfortunately, since they did not improve in last year, and I know was on their bandwagon, and of course they failed. But they need a starter. They need Latos to be the number one. Cueto can play pitch like a number one as well. They need someone to just be the lockdown guy. And if Latos and Cueto can be that very good 1-2 combination, then you might not have to worry about the homer problems of Homer Bailey and Bronson Arroyo. So we'll see. The Reds, definitely, just like every other team in this division, a lot of question marks. How much does Scott Rowland have in the tank? Brandon Phillips is clearly on the decline. Is Bronson Arroyo going to give up 59 homers? I mean, 50 homers? Here's a good one. Well, take the total strikeouts this season for Bronson Arroyo and divide it by 3. And let's see if that is greater than or less than the amount of homers he gives up this season. That's right. I think we could have a 3 strikeout per homer season out of a starting pitcher. So we'll see. Fantasy sleeper late. Again, a lot of these sleepers, a lot of these might be guys I see going later in the top 10 rounds, but a lot of them I'm going to give you are guys that are 15 to the 22nd round. And in the outfield this year, look, he's going to strike out a ton, not going to have a high average, but he's going to be 25-25, and he's one of those guys that, you know, he can take care of a couple of categories for you, and that's Drew Stubbs. So my predictions for the NL Central is the Cardinals in first, the Reds in second, Brewers in third, Pirates in fourth, Cubs in fifth, and the Astros getting laughed at. On to the National League East. Well, I'll start with my Mets. I'm an unabashed Mets fan, as you've heard on here before. The ownership mess. I made a joke on a chat where I got called out by Jason Stark Apparently, I need to go shoot two free throws because when asked the question, who is the face of each who is the face of Major League Baseball, delved into a discussion of who is the face of each franchise, I simply asked if Bernie Madoff was the face of the New York Mets. And, look, humor is all I've got at this point. I don't think the walls coming in is going to be that great for the Mets, because I honestly think it's going to help the other teams more. And it might bump up Giancarlo Stanton, before we get to him. It might bump up his total homers by about 5 this year. He's seen this guy hit. You got the ownership mess, you got the walls coming in, you got the questions of the Wright trade, David Wright being traded, which I don't think they should do. There's still an option for next year. You got the Johan Santana return, which is going to be nice, but he's going to be eased back in a little bit. Definitely get 5 days rest between starts, and I do think he'll probably get hurt again at some point. Who knows? The Mets don't have much of a farm system. They have to wait some time for Matt Harvey and Zach Wheeler, who, if you saw Matt Harvey in the spring, which I doubt you have, but if you have, he's not ready yet. Doesn't have the control. The lineup is not going to scare anybody. Jason Bay just... The left... it's just rough. Jason Bay is not Jason Bay anymore, and... The Red Sox were very smart in letting him go when they did, and not even attempting to get him. This is a bad team with no open positions, which was said by Keith Hernandez on SNY, that was a very pertinent comment to the team and a state of the Mets right now. Just, there's no spots to open up, and there's no one to fill them anyway because there's not much of a farm system. The corner outfield positions and outfield that thankfully got smaller, maybe for them, because Bay and Lucas Duda, not the swiftest of feet. Andres Torres is going to get a workout as the Mets and Giants traded center fielders this year. Not actually traded, but of course, Torres was. But anyway, the sleeper for the Mets, Ike Davis, first baseman in a thin first base class. He is back. He apparently does not have the symptoms of Valley Fever anymore, which is good. Yeah, it got that bad. Philadelphia. Well, we don't know when Chase Utley is going to be back. We actually aren't even sure if he's alive. Polanco is hurt. Martinez is hurt. Howard might be back in June. Can they get anything from Jim Thome and Ty Wigington? I don't know. Right now, would you say that Shane Victorino is their scariest hitter? None of this matters, because they have Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, Hamels in a contract year, which not a lot of people believe in, and it's been pretty much proven as a fluke, but look, there are individuals where it works out, most notably Adrian Beltre, a long time ago at the Dodgers. I think it was 04, but anyway, Cole Hamels, Vance Worley, and if you don't believe that Vance Worley is the real deal, then you haven't seen him pitch. Of course, Joe Blanton, again, just sitting there as one of the best 5 starters in the entire league. I expect a big Hamels year. The lineup is old. Papelbon is there as the closer to solidify that role, even though Matson was very good last year. As a sleeper, I see Vance Worley and maybe John Mayberry Jr. As a power source. I think he can definitely hit 25, 30 homers. He did a pretty good job last year in limited at-bats, and especially if Howard doesn't come back, this is a guy you might see getting pushed up into the lineup as he proves his power over and over again. Now we will move to the Atlanta Braves. The Phillies, you know, again, they are going to pitch. Someone will figure out how to hit. Howard will be back in June. They are going to take a little bit of a hit this year. They are not going to win 102, 103 games. They're not going to do that. But this is still a very good ball club. The Atlanta Braves, they are an offensively challenged team, and of course they have great pitching, which kind of feels like how it should. They got a decent middle lineup, question marks all over the place beyond that. But it's the same old, same old. As Tommy Hansen is now feeling better after his concussion issues. He doesn't seem to be having any now. Brandon Beachy is a guy that not a lot of people are talking about that maybe they should be. Brian Miner, Brian Miner, very good pitcher. They've got a role this guy. They've got Julio Teheran, who they can call up at any time. Not sure when Hudson's coming back. The only problem is this lineup has questions, and Chipper Jones is going to hang it up at the end of the year. You know, he's not a number three hitter anymore, but out of respect and what he's done for the team, he's probably going to stay there until he himself says that I shouldn't be a three hitter anymore. And then you got McCann, Ugla, Freeman, Hayward, and it's a big season for Hayward. And we're not sure he's going to play short. I think it's going to be Simmons, but you know, we will see. Atlanta is never going to be a team that's not going to have some sort of holes and question marks, because they are a team that they're basically, well, John Schuerholz was one of the guys who made sure that the slotting system was going to be adhered to again in the future, and the penalties would occur for teams that pay way over the slotting system in the Major League Baseball draft, which I think is terrible for the teams that aren't good now, because I believe it still will take longer for those types of teams to get guys assigned and get them into playing and get better faster. But Schuerholz is basically always paid slot for the Braves, very rarely going out of slot, which if you're familiar with, it's the same idea as how the NFL draft is. There's a recommended mount for each pick, and you can go over, but you know, most teams will stay around that. With all the collusion in the NFL, that's why you're going to see these structured contracts like this. Well, Schuerholz didn't like this, and basically he's got his own slotting system. It's that every single year the Braves pump out middle of the pack, $80 million to $90 million payrolls, and that's never going to change. So because of that, there's always going to be holes in the Atlanta Braves. They're not going to be able to buy their way out of it. I like this team maybe next year. Give the young guys another year, give the young pitching another year, and get Venters and Kimbrel back, because there's no way they're going to repeat it with that overuse from last year out of the relief pitchers. My general feel on the Braves, there's just too many holes there. The Miami Marlins. The worst thing about the new ballpark is that this team does have a lot of power. And for some reason, whatever the hell that thing is in center field, it's going to go off with all the colors and the lights and the stupidity quite a bit this year, I'm sure. And that is the worst thing about it. Of course, the Marlins made such a... Now, of course, are the Miami Marlins, which was foreseen by Back to the Future 2, of course. And now we just need to get the Cubs good so the World Series can be decided in the next couple of years. Unfortunately, I don't think Back to the Future is going to nail this one, because the Cubs will not be that good by then. And now the Cubs would have to, you know, change leagues. Other than that, spot on. Now the Miami Marlins, of course, they're committed with Hanley at third, and apparently this is going so swimmingly that him and Jose Reyes have decided to dye their hair orange. No joke. This team obviously had a nice offseason. How far they go will be not any of the moves they made, but it'll be the move that didn't require a move. How healthy will Josh Johnson be? If Josh Johnson is a number one starter, and he pitches like a number one starter, and they can get 28 to 30 starts out of him, and healthy at the end of the year, I am assuming about 4 or 5 starts being missed with a couple of trips to the DL. But if they can get 28 to 30 starts out of him, and they can get to the playoffs, the Marlins become a very dangerous team. Of course, the already mentioned Giancarlo Stanton is going to be a beast this year. There's no sleeper there. Jose Reyes is going to be great at the top of the lineup. For some reason, they still think that Emilio Bonifacio is a number two hitter, even though he's not. Gabby Sand, Logan Morrison, Gabby Sanchez, John Buck, Omar Infante. Again, this team, very good, as long as Josh Johnson stays around. And of course, look, Jose Reyes, he's going to miss a month too, but he's going to be very good. He's not going to steal as many bases anymore, and I bet he's going to protect those hamstrings a little bit. I don't think he's going to need it with Hanley, Stan Lomo, and Sanchez behind him. I have Gabby Sanchez as the sleeper from this team. And this rotation, of course, Josh Johnson, Mark Burley, Ricky Loasco, Annabelle Sanchez, and the very interesting Carlos Zambrano. And, that's some pretty good hitting pitchers, too, on this team. Miami, a very interesting team. Obviously going to be on the way up this year. But with, like, every other team, they have two major question marks about health, and my prediction is based on expectations of missing about a month each of Josh Johnson and Jose Reyes. The next team that I think is, all right, it's going to be another year or two, but you guys are on the upswing, the Washington Nationals. When will Bryce Harper be there? After June 1st? Well, how good will Steven Strasburg be? I bet he'll still get 10 wins out of his 160 innings. Will Jason Worth be that bad again? No, he will not. The problem is that they have a lot of question marks power-wise, in my opinion. Because Ryan Zimmerman, can he stay healthy still? Remember, he's got a pass, especially with his legs. You can't say that Michael Morris is definitely going to hit 38 home runs every year. LaRoche is not the power hitting guy that they need right now. Really what they need right now, for me to really believe that this team was going to make the playoffs this year, they would have needed something like what Adam Dunn was in 2008, ironically. Funny how it always goes that way. I'm going to say that they're a year away. They do not have any on-base percentage at the top. Right now, you're looking at Danny Espinosa and Ian Desmond, and they just... You're talking about guys that are barely over 300 on-base percentage. That is not how you get on base. You know, I have enough guys that are going to slam it out of the yard. They need a little bit more. I do like their pitching. I do like the Gio Gonzalez signing. I think that'll work out for them. I like Jackson, I like Jordan Zimmerman, I like John Lannon as a five-starter. John Lannon used to be their number one starter, but he's much better in the number five spot. Again, with only 160 innings from Strasburg, wait a year, folks. I think Jason Worth is probably their fantasy sleeper, and if I forgot to mention it, I thought maybe Gabby Sanchez might be a fantasy sleeper, getting 25 homers. Hitting behind Giancarlo Stanton. And my terrible loud voice, loud Hispanic fake voice. Prediction-wise, I still got Philadelphia number one. I've got Miami number two, Washington three, Atlanta, I see a down year after last year, four, and the Mets bringing up the rear at five. The NL West got very interesting just in the last few days. We'll start with the San Francisco Giants, and you might have heard about this before. They're going to pitch very well, and they might have some offensive questions. Huh! How about that? This is a team I'm down on. A lot of people still have them winning the West. A lot of people still think the pitching will overcome. I'm one of those believing that it can only happen so many times in a row before it doesn't. They need a shortstop. They've only got 2 years of Zito left, so that's good. He's only a five-star, and he's going to get plowed. Lineup, Angel Pagan has been awful. Cabrera, I'm not sure how much he has left in the tank. Sandoval, I think, will be better than last year. Posey is going to be a great four-hitter for that team, I think. I think you expect 40 doubles, 25 homers out of this guy. I mean, really, 70 extra base hits are not out of the question for Buster Posey. I really like him. But then it gets really bad. You got Huff, who's blocking Brandon Belt. And they might still stay with Belt, but the last word I heard is that Belt was going to start the year in AAA, which I thought was a terrible idea. They just need to play this kid and forget about Huff, forget about the contract, and just get the better talent in there. You got the Nate Sherholtz, Fontenot, Crawford, or Sanchez is short. I don't know. I really like, of course, I love the top three. I love Bumgarner. I love Kane. I love Lincecum. I hate Zito. And I don't like guys that are a little older, used to be prospects, and have one good year. Ryan Vogelsong, I mean, I know he had it at a younger age than what I'm saying here. Ryan Vogelsong makes me feel something like a Carl Pavano or a or even Jarrett Wright type of thing, where you have that one good year and there's nothing else and questions the rest of the time. Obviously, in Fantasy Sleepers, I mean, there's not much to pick from here. I guess I'd go with Bumgarner because he's going to have great stats. Kane has always got great stats but never seems to be able to win. So we'll move on to the San Diego Padres. Again, I'm a little down on the Giants. I just got a kind of a feeling about them. San Diego Padres, a lot of offensive questions. They lost Matt Latos, but they got Yonder Alonso, who I love. Edinson Volquez, who will probably pitch five starts that are very enjoyable, and then just be a complete pain in the ass the rest of the time. And, of course, Carlos Quinton, you know, we don't know when he's going to come. There's a lot of questions here with Carlos Quinton. Is he going to hit in Petco? Well, I don't think it matters because we don't know if he's coming back. But this is, I do like how the Padres are set up each year to play in that ballpark. This is a great pitching and defense team. You got Cameron Maben, a very underrated player. O-Dog, you got Chase Headley. I mean, then it gets rough when you got Jesus Guzman sitting as the number four hitter right now, but you got Alonso, Nick Hundley, Venable, and Jason Bartlett. And if you don't know Corey Lupke or Stauffer, then or Clayton Richard or Dustin Mosley, then you need to pay attention because this is a pretty good rotation. Lupke is kind of like the secret sauce. Volquez is going to create some problems with his control, you know. But in the back end, they lost Teeth Bell, but they got Houston Street, which is not a bad trade-off at this point of their careers. Obviously, he's not Teeth Bell, but at least Street is a pretty good pitcher. Fantasy sleeper, Corey Lute, I like Lupke. I do. I like this kid. I like what I see from him. So I'm a little up on San Diego because I think this team is tailored to pitch, play defense, and hit in the gaps a little, and I think Alonso's going to be great there. I kind of like them, got to admit. Arizona Diamondbacks, surprise team last year. It was Padres in 2010, Diamondbacks last year. Justin Upton is finally a franchise player. And Paul Goldschmidt with a great name, big first baseman. He can rake. Be interesting when Steven Drew comes back, if he does at all. This lineup, the only problem I see with the lineup, you got Blomquist, Hill, Upton, Montero, Young, Kubel, Goldschmidt, and Roberts. Problem is that they didn't have to pay Jason Kubel a single dime. Gerald Parra is very, very good. Gerald Parra is a very good player. He's very good defensively. And I think he's the type of guy that they would have been perfectly happy with. And I think if you gave them one full season, I think that Parra could end up with better stats than Kubel. And the other problem is you got a terrible OPP guy with Willie Blomquist as a leadoff hitter. I think that's an absolute mistake, and it's going to be hard to argue out of that one. But the pitching, of course, very good. They brought in Cahill, and Trevor Cahill is a ground ball pitcher, which helps in that ballpark. It should help mitigate some of the problems that he has. Again, his low strikeout rate is going to be mitigated by that good good middle of the diamond defense. Ian Kennedy, Hudson, Cole Menter, and Saunders. Look, this is a decent rotation, but guess what? They got Trevor Bauer, and he might start the year with the team as well. And this guy, if you haven't seen him pitch, you're going to see stories about Trevor Bauer just because he's got a very interesting workout routine as a pitcher that some people support and some people don't. So he is an interesting guy. As far as fantasy sleepers go, I got to have to say it's going to be Paul Goldschmidt. Again, in this thin fantasy class at first base, you're trying to hit lightning in a bottle with any one of these guys. You know, your possibilities in the National League at first base with Gabby Sanchez, Ike Davis, and Paul Goldschmidt. Colorado, you know, this team just feels like middle of the pack. It just feels like that they just can't round out the corners. They might be last in this division even if their overall record isn't that bad. Clearly the worst division in the NL is the NL Central. So I think a lot of teams are going to have their records bumped up just a little bit just from playing the NL Central, even if their teams outside of the division that only play them 6 or 7 times a year. Colorado has some questions. You got a couple pitchers that might be a year away, although Drew Pomeranz is going to start in the rotation. It is an outside shot at the Rookie of the Year, but it is also very possible that they'll find out that he can't make enough adjustments and he's a year away himself. Alex White, the other one that they got from the Indians in the Obadlo Jimenez deal, he got a DUI in the offseason, and unfortunately we're not going to see him in the majors this year, although he might just be almost there as well. You got the lineup of Dexter Fowler, Marco Scuro, you got Tulo and Cargo, which obviously those are the first round fantasy picks. No brainer is Cargo. If you're in the 6th or 7th spot and you get Carlos Gonzalez, you should be a very, very happy guy. You would have to be very unlucky and get him in a year where his breaks his knee or something. But getting him in the 6th or 7th pick of the draft with his 25-25, you can take away a couple of categories, and then you don't have to go for guys. You don't have to go for guys like D. Gordon or something like that later, because you can have both of those from Cargo. Todd Helton apparently doesn't die and doesn't age, and will never age and will never die. Todd Helton, who must have gone to Mariano Rivera's school of zombie, but or rejuvenation, or just visited a German doctor in Berlin. Who knows? But this team just, it's going to be very interesting if Juan Nicasio, after breaking his neck last year, can come back. He can really help this. This is one of those teams that I have down. I could definitely believe where they go a few spots, but this is not a team that I feel could go on the type of runs that they had under Clint Hurdle or anything like that. Gilles Chausson is the real deal. Jorge De La Rosa is usually pretty good, but then he always gets injured. Jeremy Guthrie is a little undervalued, and Tyler Chatwood, we'll see how he is. I think Chatwood is just another Mike Leake, he'll get you 10-10 every year, and if he's in the 4 or 5 spot, you're not going to hate yourself for it. And the question is, right now, they have no third baseman, with Chris Nelson as the most likely candidate. But beyond him is one of the worst seasons of all time, Brandon Wood from a couple of years ago. He possibly get third base job, and actually I would love him in Colorado because he could become the next Rob Dyer, Pete Incalvilla, and bat .220 and hit 40 bombs. But we'll see. As far as fantasy sleepers go, again, not much to pick from. Maybe Pomeranz. Maybe Kadire. I don't know. Again, if Cargo is falling in the second round, grab him immediately, that sort of thing. We'll move on to Los Angeles and finish off the National League version of the of this baseball preview. And they got interesting just this year. The McCourt deal is probably going to be done. I will get to more of that later. Of course, this team is led by the 2Ks, Clayton Kershaw and Matt Kemp. It will be interesting to see when the new ownership takes over what they can do. Obviously, they're going to be the type of ownership that I think when you're willing to spend $2 billion on a team that wasn't valued that high, probably going to be willing to throw some money around. So expect them to be in the sweepstakes for guys like Cole Hamels next year and that sort of thing. And of course, you know, Hamels and Kershaw, and then you got something. This year is not going to be the year. There's not much there. D. Gordon will be fun. You got the double Ellis, you got A.J. Ellis, the catcher, you got Mark Ellis in second base, you got Ether, Kemp, Loney, you know, Juan Uribe, and we'll see. As far as the fantasy sleeper goes, it's I would go with Javi Guerra as a late closer pick. And, the Dodgers will win a few games, and I think they'll finish around 500. They'll find a way, but they'll be able to add some pieces. I don't think that there's going to be a great market this year, but they will definitely be in the sweepstakes in the offseason for the couple of big names that will be out there. Maybe even Greinke. But the rotation of Lilly, with Lilly and Herang in there, of course, they're going to be... Lilly and Herang are going to get by just because they pitch in Dodger Stadium. You're going to see a big home and road split from those two. As far as how it's going to go in the NL West this year, I am picking Arizona first, San Diego second, San Francisco third, the Dodgers fourth, and Colorado fifth. Of course, the most likely mover out of that I have is Colorado. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed that breakdown of each team. You're one-stop shop, so you don't have to do hours of study or even, you still should probably get the baseball perspectives. It's always a fun read, but you don't have to now, I guess, but I'm going to promote it anyway because it's just a great publication. Model American of the first half of the baseball preview is, Cincinnati Bengals cheerleader, Sarah Jones, for indicted, allegedly, for having sex with a minor. It gets better. She used to teach. Of course, Cheryl Jones, Sarah's mother, she was also indicted for tampering with evidence. My problem is, Cheryl is a principal at a different middle school than where her daughter taught. What it looks like here, I'm not sure what the evidence could be, emails, whatever. Here's the deal, folks. If Sarah, if you really did do what has been alleged here, let's just say, I go back to this point. Just making simple decisions in life will get you pretty far, or at least get you comfortable, and it will definitely make sure that you don't go to jail, and also they'll make sure that if you make these simple decisions in life the right way, you'll probably also make sure that your name never gets in the news. You never really want your name in the news in life. It's usually the bad stuff. So, when you're sitting there, and you're horny and you're a cheerleader, there's a 15-year-old, and it actually doesn't even say in this article, this is read from, this was a WPTV in, looks like Cincinnati here. But, no, in Covington, Kentucky or something. I don't know. It's from WPTV.com down there. But, look, if you're a teacher and you quit your job and you decide you want to bang one of your students, first of all, you've already made really bad decisions there. probably don't want to become a Bengals cheerleader, simply for the fact that if anybody's found anywhere a part of the Cincinnati Bengals, even if it's a fringe part of the Cincinnati Bengals, your name is going to get in the news if anything happens to you at all. The Bengals don't exactly have the best track record right now. So when that underage kid looks enticing to you, you're going to want to walk away. Just saying. You're going to want to walk away. And don't ask your mom for help. You just ruined her life too. So if this alleged thing did occur, I will fully believe that it occurred because the daughter went to the mom and the mom couldn't say no to the daughter. I don't know. I don't care. Bad decisions are being made for even to get to this point, and if you are a cheerleader for the Cincinnati Bengals, you might want to lay low. You might want to date people your own age. If you're offered to be out past 2 a.m., you might want to stay in and order a pizza. Just make these simple decisions in life, and you're going to do well for yourself. You know, quitting the job and becoming the cheerleader, and you probably had to resign from the teaching position because you're having sex with that minor, although this particular article didn't say that, but that is usually the protocol when this happens in schools. Look, I don't know, of course this is all legend, but if you really did do this, Sarah, you want to just make better decisions in life. I'm just saying, you got a long way to go. I'm an old geezer compared to you, so, you know, just make good decisions, folks, and make a good decision, and listen to the second half of this baseball preview podcast. Talk to you in a few minutes.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest edition of the Polish Guy podcast.
It's the Polish Guy.
We have a mono American of the week. Holy crap, that defense is good. Let's get on to the lighter side of things.
Holy crap, that defense is good. They are who we thought they were.
They'll find a way to win a couple of games that maybe they should.
Oh, thanks, Polish
Guy podcast.